Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we adore you. We praise your holy name. You're worthy, dear God, and we come giving you the glory, the praise. We honor you best we can, Lord God, with our worship, with our praise, with us just being present. Father, we ask that you would touch your people today continually. Lift us, build us, encourage us. Oh God, empower us. Father, we thank you for the peace that you give to us. We thank you for the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word that strengthens and sustains us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, that cleanses us, cures us, and even connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. Without that blood, there will be no remission of sin. And we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you've given me clarity of thought and precision of speech and allowing my tongue to be anointed, my mouth to be anointed, these lips of clay. And let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer and the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which you shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing and deliverance and power, peace and prosperity and truth to all that hear and believe. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you. We receive it. We thank you, Lord God. And after you've done all you wanted to do in us, blessed us, healed us, helped us, delivered us, place your word in us to grow and watered us. We thank you, Lord, and we'll be careful to join with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy, God, and your glory fills the earth. We pray in the matchless, mighty, and magnificent name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We glorify him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. The angels bow before him in heaven and earth. Adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Forever. I want to give a simple topic, not trying to be fancy or anything, but just trying to give you what I believe God has given me to give you. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag on this morning on this particular text, the power of worship. The power of worship. Amen. But he says that they at midnight, they begin to sing and pray. I like this because what this entails is that they started a worship service right there in the middle of the jail. Not only in the middle of the jail, but in the middle of the pain that they were feeling. In the middle of the prison, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of their predicament that they were in, do you know that they decided that it ain't nothing else for us to do but worship God? We got to get to that place sometime in our life when we realize that ain't nothing you can do about it after you done cried and cried and cried. Ain't nothing you can do to change it. The only thing that we can do is begin to pray and sing praises unto God. Do I have anybody here that have you ever been to the place where you know I just can't do nothing about this? I can't make nothing better than what it is. I can't change the situation. So the least I can do is just stop doing this and begin to praise God and give him a come on and say amen. When I pray to God, when you pray, you need to know that all I'm doing is communing with him. All I'm doing is talking to him. God, I'm not telling you what, I'm not giving you a grocery list of what I want, but I'm talking to you about this situation because I know that you already know about it. You know, the Bible tells us that when we pray, we need to pray and have faith in God. Whenever we ask something, we need to ask it in Jesus' name. That's what he said, and you'll have what you say. He tells us that man ought to always pray and not to faint. Many of us in the prisons of our own selves and we get to fainting, but God is saying for us not to faint. He tells us that we don't even know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit of God make it intercession according to the will of, do I have anybody in here? Come on, help me out. Oh yeah, the Bible tells us that when we pray, God hears us. Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus and he said it like this. He said, Father, I'm glad that you already heard me when I got here, you already knew what I'm going to say. But for sake of the ones that's standing around me, I'm going to repeat it because you're already going to do it. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, you're already going to do it, but I'm just going to open my mouth and repeat it so that they can hear it and watch you move. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I knew God was going to do it already. I just said it so you can hear it. I knew God was going to heal me, but I just prayed, Lord, heal me so that you can hear it. I knew God was going to deliver, but I said, God, deliver just so that you can hear it because I need your faith to be built up too. Come on and shout amen in here. Glory to God. Say it at midnight. We got some verses to go, y'all. At midnight, they sang, prayed, and they sang praises unto God. And notice this, he said, and the prisoners heard them. They let the prisoners hear. Now you got to understand, the jailer, that was his house. That was his house. So not only did the prisoners hear, but the jailer heard them too. And his house. Now imagine this. Nobody don't want to get up out the bed, go down in the basement, and tell them to be quiet. You know how you sit across the house, you yell at your children to be quiet, but they still don't hear you. Why don't they hear you? Because they're making more noise than you. You can't even hear the TV over them. And here, Paul and Silas was the same way. They began to make so much noise, the prisoners heard them. They decided that we're not ashamed of our God. They decided that we're not ashamed to lift him up in the middle of a predicament that we can't get ourselves out of. You can't get yourself out of it. You might as well praise him through it. Amen. You can't get yourself out of it. You might as well just say, thank you, Lord. You know, and the Bible tells us how to pray. The Bible tells us that we need to make our requests be made known through what? Thanksgiving. So can you imagine Paul and Silas in the jail saying, Lord, I thank you that I was beaten. Lord, I thank you that you gave me power to cast that devil out of her. Lord, I thank you that you allowed me to be in this prison because it got some unsaved folks that need to know who you are. Oh, come on and say amen here. You see, God looks at people so important that he let us go through so that they can be saved. I wish I had somebody. Oh, so he says, here it is. He says that at midnight they sang and they praised and the prisoners heard them. And then suddenly, look at the power of their worship. Look at what happened. The Bible says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Do you know that your worship can shake some things up? Your worship can change the atmosphere. Your worship can move in a way that it will shake up and break down something. I wish I had somebody. It said that the foundation, do you know that here they was making this noise and all of a sudden the ground starting to tremble, the things start to move. I wish I had somebody. When you see what happened, when you can imagine in your mind that all they were doing was praying and praising and the prisoners heard them so that they would see the work of God after the worship. Come on and say amen. Do I have any after effects of worship in the house? Do you know what happens after we worship him? Do you know that after we worship him, some things move in our life? After we worship him, some things are broken in our life? After we worship him, some doors are open? Y'all don't hear me in here. After we worship him, these are the effects of the aftershock of worship. Lord have mercy. Preaching better than y'all saying amen in here. After effect, the aftershock of worship was that the earth, when it quaked, the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. We got to see something here, that if you want a door open, you need to worship God. Oh, come on and say amen here. If you want a chain broken, you need to worship God. Do I have anybody that say that I had some doors shut in my life, but I need that? You go right up to that door and you just start lifting your hands. Say, Lord, I thank you for opening this door. This door don't have any power over me. This door can't keep me out because, God, you said you're everywhere. And in order for you to be in there, I got to go through this door. I wish I had somebody here. We need to get to a place that we can walk up to a door and the door open for us because we are worshipers. Because I'm a worshiper, I can walk up to a door. Do you know there are some spiritual doors that need to be opened in your life, and the only way that they are opened up is when you begin to worship God. I need you to open up this door spiritually, God, but God is saying, oh, where's your worship? That's the key to open up the door. I wish I had somebody. Oh, some of us have been bound up in so many different ways. We have been bound in sickness, bound in the opinion of others, bound bound up in ourselves, bound up in low self-esteem. But do you know today that your chains can be broken if you would just worship the Lord, if you would just give him what he does? I wish I had somebody. Oh, we got to learn how to worship him, because when we worship him, it produces freedom. When we worship him, it produces faith. Come on and say amen. And so when we worshiped him, the earth began to quake. And I said, Lord, why did the earth begin to quake? Because do you know the Bible said that the earth is the footstool of God? Come on and say amen. And so in other words, while they begin to sing praises to God, God began to pat his foot. I wish I had somebody in here. When God began to pat his foot, then the earth began to bounce and reel and rock and say, we can't sit still while you're worshiping God. We got to do, oh, come on and say amen. We got to move too. Do you know if you can just get the whole earth to rock and reel with you? Oh, come on and say amen. When God pats his foot, things begin to shake up. When God pats it, I wish I had somebody. There's more power in God patting his foot than we can ever think of in any military might of any country. Oh, come on and say amen. So when God moves, oh, come on and say amen, we have an earthquake that opens up doors and chains drop off of us. Come on and say hallelujah. When I look at this, I look at this and I say, you know, their worship was so powerful that not only did their worship open up doors for them, not only did their worship break their chains for them, but their worship opened up doors for other folks that did. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Do you have anybody around you that you need some doors open for? I came to church just to worship for them. I came to church, God, I'm worshiping just for my children, Lord, because they ain't got sense enough to worship you like they should. They so caught up with materialism in this world. I got to worship you for them because, Lord, I don't want them bound up in chain. I don't want, oh, come on and say amen. I want that if any time they get bound, that every chain will be broken. I want that if they come to a door and it's slammed in their face, that door be, oh, I wish I had somebody. I wish I had some. Will y'all stop business mannequin challenge? I'm getting tired of this. I want y'all to worship with me. Come on and give God some praise in here, because I'm praising God because I know what he can do. I know how he's going to bless my seed. I know how he's going to bless my family. There are some people going through the same thing you're going through. They're in prison just like you, and they're locked down just like you. But if you would just begin to worship, you might be the one that break them through. You might be the one that help them out. I wish I had somebody in here that said, I'm going to be the one. I'm not waiting on the other person on down the road to do it. I'm the one on this pew that's going to worship God. I'm the one. I'll look down at him and say, no, it ain't you, it's me. I'm the one that's going to worship God while we sitting here like some sitting ducks. I'm going to lift my hand. I'm going to open up my mouth. I'm going to give God some praise because I believe that God will open up a door for you. Now, ask him, what are you going through? You need me to worship God for you? What are you dealing with? What's on your mind that you can't say amen, that I need to worship God for you? Come on and say amen here. Amen. We need to worship him. The earth began to quake, and they say every man's bands were loosed. The doors were open. Every man, everyone, and nobody in the jail was bound up now. Do you know that God wants you free to worship him? God does not want you to worship him bound, but we come bound with problems and we won't lift our hand. We come bound with pain and we won't open our mouth. We come bound with persecution and strife and we won't give God what he rightly deserves. I don't understand that because I'm too grateful, and I understand that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be. And so therefore, I'm not going to be pompous and pious and not sit on my blessed assurance. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, because his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast of the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. Do I have anybody want to exalt him together with me? Anybody want to taste and see that the Lord is good? Oh, yeah, his mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. And he says, so now everyone's bands are loosed. But look at the miracle here wasn't just that their bands were loose, but the miracle, God wanted to use them to do something. He wanted to use them to get this household saved. You know that your household is important to God. You know, sometimes we mistakenly as Christians think that we are far more than somebody else. But do you know that other soul is more important? It's certainly important to God. Amen. And so when they looked around, the prisoner, the keeper of the prison, was awake out of his sleep, and he, seeing the prison doors open, drew out a sword and would have killed himself. He drew out his sword and he was ready to kill himself because he thought everybody had escaped. Now, he was going to be punished really bad if they would have found out that everybody had escaped. They were going to accuse him of letting them go.
Right.
And he was going to be killed and tortured to death. And he said, before I get tortured, I would rather just kill myself. And so he didn't want to be tortured. And then Paul cried in verse 28 with a loud voice, said, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in, and it came, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Even though they had been freed, they were still sitting there waiting because God had more work for them to do. God had a work for them. He wanted that man and his house saved. They came in and look, he would have killed himself. And you know what? Paul, not even seeing, look how God does. God gives him a perception because he was in worship. God gives him a revelation because there was darkness. Paul couldn't have saw this man about to kill himself because he was in lockdown. But Paul, with his supernatural self, because he had been in worship, he knew what was going on in the man's life. And he said, you know what, man? Don't kill yourself, because we are all here. Don't hurt yourself. And so God, when you worship God, he will give you insight that you didn't have before. When you become a worshiper of God, he will allow you to see things that you couldn't see before. That's why when we begin to worship God, you start looking at life a whole lot differently. You start looking and you can see when people are on a path of destruction. You say, Lord, I need to talk to them before they destroy themselves. Because God gives you some glasses that you can't get from nowhere else. I wish I had somebody. So he says that don't hurt yourself. And they came in. He said, what must I do to be saved? Amen. And after he said that, he says in verse number 31, he told him, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, Paul tells him that if you believe, you'll be saved and your house will be saved. Look at how he continues to work. The reason why God put them there in the beginning was so that they could witness for God. And while they were witnessing for God and they were going through something, they begin to worship God. And so their worship produced freedom, and their worship produced faith and saved the whole family. I wish I had somebody here. And the Bible says, it goes on to say, and I'm done now. He says in verse number 32, and they spake a word, spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. We need a word from God. Any time that we worship God, God is going to speak to us. Any time that we worship God, he's going to give to us what we need. And what we need in this day is a genuine word from God. You don't need me to talk about what's in Ebony or Jet. You don't need me to talk about what's on CNN and Fox. But what you need me to talk about is a word from the Lord. I need you to know what thus saith the Lord. And when I tell you what thus saith the Lord, you need to believe that God has said it. You need to believe it and receive it with joy, because once you receive the word of God, that means the seed has taken root. That means that the water, the word that you had in you, have been watered. I wish I had somebody. But not only does it mean that, but it means that the enemy will come to try to choke it up. So you, when the only way you can make it through is not to let that word be choked up. You got to let that enemy know that this word ain't being choked up, but this word is going to grow. We got to understand that the way I fight this enemy is by the same word that I received. Oh, come on and say, man, what I got on the inside of me is a word. You ought to let him know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Will you trust God even if it's one word? Remember, Peter walked on the water and he only went by one word. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And Jesus said one thing. He said, come. And Peter was able to walk on water. I wish I had somebody in the house that say, I'm going to trust God for his one word. When they begin to speak the word of the Lord to him, come on and say amen here. It began to encourage his faith. It began to build him up. But not only was it building his faith, but it was saving his family. Do you know what I'm talking about here? You got to understand what it means when a person's family family gets saved. It ought to make somebody feel good to know that you're not going to go to heaven by yourself, that you got some folks going to be going along with you. Come on and shout glory in here. You got to understand. Now understand what the elders believed, or how they would shout when we would get off the mourner's bench, how they would rejoice whenever we would take Jesus and make him our choice, because all they wanted us to do is be saved. I wish I had somebody in the house, but nowadays we don't want people to be saved. Oh, I just want my children to be successful. But let me tell you something, if they are saved, then they will be successful, because I heard something one day, that education plus Jesus equals success. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I want my children to be saved. Oh, come on and shout amen. They gave this man a word, and to all them that were in the house. You see, sometimes we got to get better than what we do. He said, everybody in the house had to come to church. Everybody in the house had to hear a word. But sometimes we go to home and we leave our children at the house, and we come to church and we don't want them to hear the word. How else can they be saved? How else would they know how to rejoice in the Lord? Oh, come on and shout amen in the time of trouble. But look at what else he did. The Bible says in verse number 33, and I'm done, he said, and they took them into the same hour and the same night. I wish I had somebody. The same night they were in jail, the same night that they were beaten, the same night that they were in there worshiping, they were able to come out. I wish I had somebody. He said, and they washed their stripes. Before you do anything, wash my stripes. Oh, come on and say amen here. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that when I worship God, where I'm hurting, he'll make somebody help me. Whatever I'm hurting about, God will make somebody help me. I wish I had somebody. But it wasn't just any old body. It was the same people that had put them in jail. It was the same people that had beat them with many stripes. Do you know how your enemy will turn out if you can just hold your witness? Instead of you blessing them out, you really ought to just bless them and bless the Lord, because after they do what they did, they'll have to turn around. I wish I had somebody. The Bible says he'll make your enemies your footstool. Now won't God do it? I say, won't God fix it here? Won't God turn it around? They were your enemy at first, but now they want to be your friend. Oh, come on and shout yes here and give God some praise. Do I have anybody that say, I was put in a spot, but I kept witnessing for God. I kept working for God, and my worship went to God. And then my enemy washed my stripes and said, look, I'm sorry for all I did. I shouldn't have said that about you. I shouldn't have done you like that. I was in the wrong. I wish I had somebody. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, I just want to apologize, because I shouldn't have done that to you. You didn't deserve what I did. This is what happened to Paul and Silas. That is the power of worship. You don't have to fight in your own battles. You need to let them know that I don't have to fight you. But the joy that I have, the Lord gave it and you can't take it. The God that I serve, he's going to fight all my battles. Oh, come on and shout yes here. You don't need to fight. Remember last week? No need in fighting in this battle, because this battle is not yours, but this battle belongs to God. Do I have anybody that said, I know the power of worship? I know that when I'm in a jam, I need to go ahead and turn up the volume and start to give God praise. I don't care who might hear me. You see, sometimes we get so ashamed and we say, I don't want nobody to hear me, but I don't care who I am. If I feel like lifting him up, I'm going to praise him. I wish I had somebody that said, I'll praise the Lord from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I'll bless his holy name. Oh, come on and shout yes here. Won't God be a blesser? Won't God heal your body? Won't God save your soul? Won't God open up doors that's been closed in your face? Won't he be a battle axe in the time of battle? Won't he be a friend to you? Won't God help you out when everybody writes you off? Won't God wipe you off? Won't he fill you with his spirit? Come on and say yes in here. Won't God lift you up and turn your life around? Oh, come on and shout yes and give God some praise in here. Anybody know he'll do it? Come on and say, won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Won't God help you? Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I got a question for you. Say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? I know God will do it. When I was in jail, he opened up my doors. When I was bound, he let me go free. I wish I had a few people that could witness with me and say, I'm a witness that no matter what you're going through, that God will make a way for you, that God will pull you out of the trouble. Come on and shout the yes here. Come on and give God some praise. Let me tell you what else he'll do. He'll give you salvation. The Bible said that they were baptized after they washed their wounds. They were baptized. Oh, come on and shout amen here. All baptism signifies is the fact that they accepted Jesus. Now, ain't that something to shout about? The angels will shout over one. But here we are, we won't shout over none. The angels give God praise over one soul. But here we are, we're struggling about it. We're wondering if they're really saved. Oh, I bet they're going to go to the boat after they leave here. I bet that they ain't no good. Our pastor can do all of that and pray for them, but they still gonna go about doing what they do. It don't matter. It ain't your business what they go about and do, but it's God's business. I wish I had somebody in here that say it's God's business. You didn't die for him. You didn't come on and say amen. I didn't take one stripe for him, but I know it was God. He said that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes I've been healed. Do I have anybody that say I'm healed today because of what Jesus did? He died on a old rugged cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But you know, if you got good manners, anything you borrowed, you ought to give it back. Because early, somebody said early. Now that's a church word. If you ain't happy by now, ain't nothing I can tell you. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Do I have anybody here that say, I know the power? That's why I worship. When you find people that know the power, they don't have a problem lifting their hands. When you know the power, you don't have a problem saying amen. When you know the power, you don't mind lifting him up. When you know the power, you know that you've been endued with power. And I can't sit still because something inside of me telling me to praise his name. Something inside of me telling me to lift him up. Come on and shout yes. Shout yes. Shout I know he's all right. I said, do you know he's all right? Come on, don't fool me now. Say, do you know he's all right? I say, if you know he's all right, you ought to grab your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, the mannequin challenge is over. Now it's time to talk. Pastor want to know something. He want to know, do you know the Lord? He wants to know, have you tried him? He want to know, is he able? Well, say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Now look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I know you saw me talking to my other neighbor, but I need to tell you something. I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. And if to know he's all right, rally your head back and say yes. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. He'll open up those doors. Come on and shout hallelujah. He'll open up those doors. He'll make the doors like Walmart doors. I don't have to open the door. I just stand in front of the door because I'm a worshiper.